I'm Wendell. I'm learning what it means to live loved by God. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. I've had issues with pornography and alcohol and depression and panic and rage. This is kind of a weird topic tonight that I feel like we need to talk about. Follow me for just a second. Have you ever been eating a meal off of like a big plate, like a big one, a big plate? Like maybe Thanksgiving dinner, maybe, you know, a big meal, not just a snack, but a big meal with lots of variety. Got lots of stuff on your plate, and you're eating away kind of, maybe nobody does this, I do. You're eating away on your side of the plate, and all of a sudden you realize the other guys are getting kind of left out, so you turn your plate around. Nobody ever does that, just me. Okay. But what I've realized that when you take that plate that you served up and you turn it around and look at the other, it's like, wow, I didn't know that I even had this on my plate. I have a whole new perspective. Another example, you're putting a puzzle together. All right, you're putting a puzzle together and you're sitting on one side of the table and you've got, you know, basically your borders pieces and you've got pieces scattered here and there and you're kind of working from this side up and you work, and you kind of get to this place where I'm just not going anywhere with this. You just get up and you move around to the other side of the table, and all of a sudden it's like this brand new puzzle. It's like I can do this now. I instantly see like four or five, boom, boom, boom. I've got momentum. I can do this. Fresh perspective. Change was good. Well, I want to talk about the benefits of change tonight. We started out with a big plate and a puzzle. So, you know, I've whet your appetite, and I've talked about leisure time. So, you know, we're in a good place, we're calm, the music's nice, the temperature's nice. Almost all of us, I don't care where you stand politically, I don't care where you stand in terms of your religion or, you know, your fundamentalism or your whatever, or your liberalism or whatever, almost all of us don't like change, which is the definition of being a conservative. This is who we are. We are creatures of habit, and whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you are conservative. Whether you're a Presbyterian or a Methodist, you're a conservative. Almost all of us are conservative. It's not that we don't like change, it's that it scares the bejeebers out of us. We don't just dislike it. We fear change. It's just, and the reason I want to talk about this tonight is because it's so fresh on my radar. We just made a huge change in our life. You know, when they list stress producers, marriage, new job, buying a new home is right up the top, having a baby, getting a divorce, you know, whatever. We're not having a baby. We're not getting a divorce. We're all good on that one. But we just moved. We bought a house, the first house we've owned in over 25 years. And we just moved. We're too old for this. This is like, really? It the stress level. And I don't think it's, we love where we are. I mean, I love it. We got bunny rabbits and squirrels and birds and trees and breezes, and we love where we are out in the country. We love our neighbors. We love our house. We love everything about it. But everything that goes into the change of address, change of utilities, change of detail after detail after detail, just, you know, and it's really accentuated. We've talked about it. The fact that most people don't like that kind of change. They, you know, once you get there and once you get established and once you get in a routine, that's one thing. But the process of change is scary. It's fatiguing. It's frustrating. It's confusing. It's just, you know. Now, some people love change. Some people love adventure every day, all day long. And I admire those people. I like to sit down and talk to those people and pick their brain and have them tell me about your life, because I learn from those kinds of people. I'm not one of them. We cling to what we know and what we're used to. That's generally how we are. And we're like that little kitten who climbs halfway up a tree, and all of a sudden they realize, now what do I do? And you go and try to pull them off that tree, and they're just like, you know, you can't pee, you can't poop, you can't eat, you can't sleep. Why are you hanging onto that tree? Leave me alone. I'm just going to. So they just cling to that tree, and you have to peel them off like Velcro to set them down and show them a better way. But once we get set into something, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, we tend to cling to it like that kitten. Just hang on to it because we're used to it. Jobs, relationships, locations, you name it. We tend to cling to it. Because it gives us a false sense of security. It's not real security. It's a false sense of security. Because it becomes predictable and it feels permanent. I think one of the hard pills for me to swallow in life is there's no such thing as permanent. There is no such thing as permanent. Life is a river that flows. It's not a lake that sits there. And so it's always fresh water coming by. One of the things that's hard for... We're just being honest. Well, I say we. I'm the talking head here. But we're just honest here tonight. We're discovering what it means to get older. That, you know, those of you in your 30s and 40s, enjoy, suck all the juice out of that you can. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Because those days are fleeting. You're not going to be there very long. You're going to wake up one day and realize, I can't get up out of this chair. You know? You'll drop something on the floor and you'll get down there to get it and you'll think, now what else can I do now that I'm down here? And I used to hear those things and laugh, and then I realized, no, they're real. That's where we live. So I always thought I would be young and active and athletic, quick on my feet, quick with my wit, be able to remember things and everything. That river has flowed. You know? So you have to learn how to change whether you want to change or not. Because life just demands it of you. And yet we fight it. We fight it because we have this security in that which we think is predictable and permanent. Okay, so we've kind of talked about how change is good. The other side of it is this false security of permanence and of predictability. The little road that went between her home church and town, center town. She grew up at Bratcher's Crossroads Free Methodist Church, and there was a little road called Green Hill Road that went to center town. That was a little bitty town, had a bank and a post office and a school, and it's where she went to school. But I was told, I pastored that church for a while, but I was told that way, way, way back that it was a very curvy, hilly little road down in Middle Tennessee. I was told that years back it was a dirt road, and it literally had two ruts about that deep in it, standard width apart, all the way to town. And if you were going to go to town, you had to get your wagon in that rut, and your mule would pull you all the way to, or buggy or whatever you went in. You know, it went in the rut. It was like reverse railroad tracks. Instead of up, it was down, and the wheels stayed in there. So you really didn't, once you started to center town, that's where you were going to go. You know, pretty much, unless you want to get out of the rut and go somewhere else. But though the human need to be predictable and to be permanent it's okay. We need that. You need a certain kind of routine. You know, when you brush your teeth, it's good just to have one way you do it. You don't have to be able to be ambidextrous or do it standing on your head or running laps around your house. There's, you know, routine is okay. There's nothing bad about routine. But when our emotional state and our spiritual state and our mental state get stuck in a rut, that's something else. Brushing your teeth is one thing, but the way you think, the way you feel, the way you treat other people, when those things get stuck in a rut and they become so permanent and so predictable that you just get used to them, it's like, this is just the way life is. We could be doing grievous damage to other people. We could be doing grievous damage to ourselves, and when you if anybody questions that, or if you manage to question it at all, it's like Well, no, this is just the way it is. This is just the way I am, or this is just the way life is. This is the way it's supposed to be. Look at the ruts. This is how you get to Center Town. You know? So we just get in the rut and we go. Brushing your teeth is one thing. Treating other people is another. And it after a while, when you get into these ruts and routines, it's kind of dehumanizing, and that it begins to take away your ability to make choices, or even your desire to make choices. Just go to sleep. The mule's got it. You know what I'm saying? Just go to sleep. The mule's got it. He knows the way to Center Town. The wagon will stay in the ruts. Just go to sleep and let it go. And so we think about doing your relationships that way. You get into your ruts with your husband, your wife, your kids, the people you work with. This is the way they talk to me. This is the way I talk to them. This is how dependable they are to me. This is how dependable I am to them. And we just get in these ruts, and we don't think about the consequences. We don't think about, you know, where this is going. So our relationships become unhealthy. We make unhealthy life choices. In my case, years ago, it's not so much now because that's getting better, but it goes back to the lesson we talked about last week about listening. That I get in my routine, and it's almost like I ain't got time to listen to you. I ain't got time for that. I've got this routine, I've got this rut, I've got this place I'm going, and I don't really have time to hear what you have to say to me. So it's just this mindless. So really, what we embrace as permanent and predictable is actually rather dangerous and hazardous to ourselves and other people. And, you know, I don't think any of us here want to do damage. Hurt people, heal people, heal people. So we've joined the heal people club kind of here. If we have something we all center around and identify with, it's that we want to help people. We don't want to hurt them anymore. We've done enough of that. You know, we want to heal people and help people. So it might be that we need to change some things. It might be that we need to examine some of our routines. Take a second look at them and say, you know, I'm just so used to doing this. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And so, remember what we said about the puzzle. When you turn it around, all of a sudden you have a fresh clarity about that puzzle. You see it in a new way. What if you did that with your life? What if you decided, and this is where people are going to say, oh, now this sounds like a gimmick to me. But I thought a lot about that this week, and I thought, I'm going to take the chance of people thinking it's a gimmick. You can do that if you want. But I thought, what if you changed your daily routine? What do you do when you get up in the morning? First thing you do is you go to the bathroom. Then you probably, what, brush your teeth? Nobody washes their face before they drink their coffee. Coffee's the very first thing? Okay. Coffee's a number one. Word. Got it. I just got chastised. Coffee's usually number three or four to me, but anyway. What if, literally on purpose, you wrote yourself a note the night before and said, tomorrow when I get up, I'm going to change my routine. I'm going to change some things up that I normally do. But take it past your prep time. That's just your prep time. What if you said, I'm going to drive another way to work? I'm going to take another route to work. Who do you usually talk to first when you go to work? When you go in the building, who do you usually talk? What is your route in the building? What if you changed that up and went another route and started with somebody else, talked to somebody else? What do you usually do for lunch? What if you just intentionally said, just for fun, I'm going to turn the puzzle around, just for fun, and I'm going to do something different for lunch? What do you do after hours? See what I'm saying? And you think, that sounds kind of gimmicky. Well, when you're stuck on a puzzle and you turn it around, is that gimmicky? I know puzzles aren't life and death. I understand that. But you know that it worked. You get a different perspective, and all of a sudden you're able to put some pieces in that you couldn't prior. So what if we just changed up some of our routines on purpose? There's no practical reason this will save me time, this will save on gas, I'm not saying that. I'm just change up the routine to change the perspective. Your conversations that you have with your spouse. We've talked a lot about that, how we get into a toxic dance with our spouse, that they will say this, pushes our button, we'll say that, pushes their button, they'll say that, and it's like a choreograph that's already been designed. Anybody watching could say, I know what they're going to do next. I know, because it's this toxic dance that we've got. What if we decided to change that routine? As soon as your spouse says that word, you say, okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to take that next step that I always take. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to go to the freezer and get them a fudge pop. You know? Or I'm going to go sit on the back porch and drink some iced tea. Just sit there. I'm just, whatever it is, they push that button and you say, I'm not going to do the routine. So what if we just decided, just for fun, y'all, okay, no practical reason, just decided I'm going to change the routine so that life looks different to me, and it probably will to the other person as well. This is not a trick or anything. Just think about it. Do you have people, this is where you get really serious, do you have people in your life who you know are toxic? They are dark, toxic people that when you are around them, you can feel the poison in the air. This is the example I use. It's almost like they carry around this giant hypodermic, and when you get too close, they jab it in you and they start to suck the life right out of you. You have people like that just, when you leave them, you feel drained. Emotionally, physically, just drained. So what if you started changing some of those relationships? Either walk away from that relationship, or simply, when you see them and they start with their negativity and their darkness, you just say, if we're going to have this conversation,